الحمد لله لا أبغي به بدلا، حمدا يبلغ من رضوانه الأملة، ثم الصلاة على خير الورى وعلى ساداتنا آله وصحبه الفضلة. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Shall we continue our series on إصلاح النفوس؟ And the last three series dealt with a lot of definitions. Understanding إصلاح, understanding النفس. What is the nafs? And yesterday we discussed what is ad-dunya and our understanding of dunya and the importance of having the Quranic understanding of these terms. The goal of the Quran is to create a balanced personality, as we said before. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, halaka al-mutanati'una qalaha thalatha. Imam Muslim, he relates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the extremist will be destroyed. And he said it three times. Yesterday we discussed ad-dunya and some of the verses of Quran and ahadith about ad-dunya. And we discussed also the understanding that we have ad-dunya. To be owners of the dunya, not to be owned by the dunya. And that the goal of Islam is not for us to isolate ourselves completely from the dunya, but to regulate the dunya. To control the dunya and not to be controlled by it. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, he used to say, لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها. That there is no place after the death of a person that he can live. إلا التي كان قبل الموت يبنيها. Except that before he died, he built this house. That there's no place for anyone to live after death except what they built for themselves. And that's why the ulama said, إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا مَزْرَعَ. That the dunya is a farm. And the job of the person is to utilize it as best he can. And we said there are two options for the believer to be. Number one, a traveler. And number two, أَعَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ, to be a stranger. And we discussed the commentary of Ibn Rajab, rahimahullahu ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he warned us about being owned by this dunya. When he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ta'isa, abdu dinar, wa dirham, wa al-qatifa, wa al-khamisa. He said, may the one be ruined, or the one who is ruined, who is the slave of the dinar wa the dirham, monetary aspects of life, and the one who is the slave of the shirt and the pants, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After talking about this yesterday, our understanding of this dunya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this life to use to worship Him. And that understanding leads us to إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Then if we look at some of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this ummah in particular, and what he said will be the demise of this nation, the Muslim nation, then we can understand if we lose our balance in this role. Utilizing the dunya to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Utilizing this life to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the ulama said two things. To rely on yourself is shirk. To rely on yourself is to associate partners with Allah. And to leave the asbab, to leave those things that will help you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is ma'asi. Is disobedience to Allah. For example, in the Quran, you see instances where people were ordered to use asbab where it doesn't really make that much sense. For example, our brothers and sisters in the medical field can tell us that the most difficult pain that has ever been measured in the human sphere is the pain of childbirth that a woman goes through. We go to Surah Maryam, alayha salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates the story of Maryam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates the birth of Isa alayhi salatu salam. And after the birth, or during this pains of birth, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell Maryam to do? وَخُذِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْ إِنَّخْلَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered her to what? To shake this date tree. Why? So that dates could fall upon her. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to, He could have sent the dates down on some nice tray. take of these dates. Ya'mat Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered her to shake the tree. Musa alayhi salatu salam, with faraqna bikum al bahr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, we split the sea for you. When Musa and his people arrived at the edge of the sea, did the sea just miraculously split? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to hit his staff on the ground. Subhanallah, those of you who study physics or mechanical engineering or civil engineering, is there any relationship between hitting a stick on the ground and the splitting of the sea? Why Allah Azza wa Jalla ordered him to do this? When Isa alayhi salatu salam, he descends from the heavens back to the earth, the ulama said he will land on a minaret in the area of Ash-Sham. And when he lands on this minaret, he will go down the stairs of this minaret and come out the masjid. Subhanallah, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he didn't order Isa alayhi salatu salam to miraculously float to the ground. Why did he have to stop at this minaret and walk down? We take an important rule here, that the Muslim is ordered to take asbab. The Muslim has been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take all of the necessary things around him or her to serve Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he sends Isa alayhi salatu salam back to us, why is he going to walk down this minaret to show us when you come into this dunya, you have to use asbab. You have to utilize asbab. Why Musa alayhi salatu salam has to hit his stick? Do the minimal, do something so that the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be manifest. Maryam alayhi salam, how can a pregnant woman, let alone a man or a woman, shake an entire tree? Of course she couldn't do it, but her effort brought what? The barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus we take this understanding. وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala employed everything to you in this dunya. Why? To worship Him. And that's why we take an important principle in fiqh. That everything in the dunya is considered halal. Unless a text is sent which declares it to be haram. And this is important in da'wah. When we talk to people about Islam, many times people say to us, in Islam I can't do anything. Tell them why? I can't drink. You can't drink what? Orange juice? No, I can drink orange juice. You can't drink milk? No, I can drink milk. You can't drink Kool-Aid with the sugar in it? I can drink that. You can't drink Gatorade? I can drink that. Can you drink grapefruit juice? I can drink that. Can you drink any juice? Of course, it hasn't been through some certain processes. Yeah, I can. So the only thing you can't drink is what? Out of all of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you to drink is khamr. Is alcohol. Then ask them, what's the result of alcohol? What do studies tell us? That the majority of cases of abused wife and abused children because somebody is using alcohol. Tayyib, don't you think it's good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid you from that? How much money people spend on alcohol? What's it doing to their liver? What's it doing to their health? One of my professors told me in sociology that if alcohol was introduced today to the FDA, it would be declared as a drug, as a forbidden drug in the society. So we should present Islam in this way. In Islam, I can't wear anything. What do you mean you can't wear anything? Do you like this? Do you like that? Do you like this? Do you like this? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you like to be naked? No. Okay, alhamdulillah. Islam ordered you to wear clothes, to be decent. So we should present Islam in this fashion, that Islam brings people to true freedom, to use this dunya, why? To serve Allah. Because as we'll talk about later on, human beings been created to serve something. Maybe it's Allah, maybe it's something else, but it's the nature of the person to make ubudiyah to something, to make this servitude to something, whether to Allah, whether to themselves, whether to the crack pipe, whether to money, whether to this, whether to that. They will do it. Because it's in the nature of the human being to serve. So we took this important understanding that we should utilize the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ Prepare everything you can of strength, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ Prepare yourselves. Prepare yourselves with what? With the things around you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got the idea of the minbar from where? From Persia. Alayhi salatu salam. He took sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or he sent alayhi salatu salam, some of his companions to Syria. Why? To learn how to make shields. And they came back to Medina and assisted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The idea of the adhan came from the other people around him that they saw making different calls to prayer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Muslims the way to call others to their salah. Thus, even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took things from other communities to help him worship Allah. So everything in the dunya is halal. unless a text comes to forbid it. And this is an important principle in Islam. And that's why we shouldn't go to people if it's something that has to do with the dunya and say, that's haram. You have to prove to me that it's halal. La bil'aks. You have to prove to me that it's haram. You have to bring some text that shows me this is haram. From the Quran, from the Sunnah, or from the statements of the fuqaha. So we understand we use this dunya, we utilize this dunya. Why? To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our current condition. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's been reported by Abdullah bin Umar that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, صَلَاحُ أَوَّلِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ, the correctness of the first part of the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be to being away from dunya, meaning owning the dunya, not being owned by the dunya, and yaqeen. And certainty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the destruction of the end of this ummah will be what? Bil bukhl wal amal. Because of miserliness and false hopes. Inshallah, I'm going to make Hajj when I'm 65, akhi. Inshallah, I'm going to make Hajj when I'm 70. In our countries, Muslim countries, you hear this a lot. Akhi, why don't you make Hajj? And kmal. Alhamdulillah, what I can, inshallah. When I became 60 or 65, I'm going to make Hajj. How you know you got 65? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith related by Imam al-Bukhari, one day at the time of Fajr, before that time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Ubaid ibn Jarrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Ubaidah to Bahrain. And the Ansar, they knew that Abu Ubaidah would come back with the jizya of the people of this area. So when they came back, they came back around the time, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu came back around the time of Fajr. And the Ansar were anxiously awaiting him. So at the time of Fajr, a lot of the Ansar, they gathered in the masjid. They prayed Fajr with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made the taslim and then he started smiling. Then he said to the Ansar, he said, I guess you heard that Abu Ubaidah is back. They said, Ajl ya Rasulullah. Correct. We knew that Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was coming back. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them the good news that they will receive some of these things from the jizya. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَوَاللَّهِ, he said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, it is not poverty that I fear for you, وَلَكِنِّي أَخْشَى, except or only it is that I fear that what? The dunya going to be made easy to you. And this life will be open to you. And you will take it and you will be destroyed as those nations who took it before you and they were destroyed. So the fall of the ummah is where? In not owning the dunya, but being owned by the dunya. I read recently about the history of one Muslim kingship. And this non-Muslim, he says, I went there and I saw just in one area, 60,000 workers bringing diamonds to this king. 60,000. One of the diamonds that this king had was more than 400 carats. And this man, he's describing it. One of them was so big it was broken into three or four parts, and each part was more than 100 carats. Owning the dunya or being owned by the dunya. It's related in some Muslim lands before the fall of this ummah that women used to wear gold on their toes. They used to wear gold on their feet. They were, as we say, in the bling bling. Gold everywhere. Walakin, no respect for it. And if you look at the fall of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see directly connected to this extravagant waste of affairs, waste of the materials that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he gave a very interesting example. And I will not give you the exact translation that he goes into because it's some detail. But it's a very beautiful similitude. He said the example of the person in this dunya is like a group of people who are on a ship. And suddenly this ship stopped at a nice island. And the captain said to them, go there, look around, enjoy yourself, but don't become too enthralled with the goodies in this island because you're going to miss the boat. We're going to leave soon. So the first group, he said, They went to the island. They looked around. They said, MashaAllah, this is nice. Let's get back. So he said, these people, they made it back, alhamdulillah. And their travel was easy. The next group, they went and they looked a little harder. And in fact, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, they took a lot of the goodies with them and they were almost about to miss the boat. They made it, but because they had so many things with them that the boat was heavy. So their ride was bumpy and rough. Remember that singer, Alia? How I know this woman is how she died. Allahu Akbar. She was making some music video. Don't get the wrong idea about me. I read it in the USA Today. I have my alibi. Go home and have a grand jury hearing or something. Subhanallah, she made some music video, some pornographic movie. And then it was time for her to fly on a small charter jet from the place of the video. I don't think it was in Cuba, maybe somewhere named Guantanamo Bay or something like that. The Bahamas, yeah. In that area, you know, where people go to escape from international law and, you know, so on and so forth. So, anyways, she went there and she filmed her video, and after she had to leave, it was time for her to leave, she packed the plane with her clothes. And her entourage was packing with clothes after clothes after clothes after clothes, you know. And the pilot told them, don't do this. We can't fly the plane. Allahu Akbar. They said, no, God forbid, I don't have my high heels, you know, this, that, this. My nice jilbab, doubtful. They got on the plane. And Allahu Akbar, they crashed. The cause of the crash, weight. Ad-dunya, like these people. The third people. He said that these people, they will go to the island, this third group of people, and they will look at everything. And they will say, wow, and they will become absorbed in it to the extent that they forgot everything. And that, in fact, they will say, khalas, we don't even need to go back to the boat. Look at this nice place. We can live here, and that's it. And the boat will leave them. And he said, after some time, all of these things will be destroyed by typhoons and storms, and they'll be left on that barren island with nothing. And he said, وَذَارِكَ الدُّنْيَا. He said, this is the example of a dunya. And the people in this dunya, how they're going to live their lives. The ulama said, there are some ways to keep your focus in a dunya. So that you can know, am I teetering this way? Am I teetering that way? Because the interesting thing about dunya will never leave you. You're in a dunya. So they said, there are three things. And we'll mention them into two parts, it's easier. Number one, they said, is to understand your role in this life. And who are you? What's your purpose? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send you to this earth? And number two, to manage this life. Because if you understand the role that you have, like any job situation, before they give you what you should do, they tell you who you are. That's why you have titles, personnel director, CEO, project manager. Why? These are my goals and objectives. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us as our identity? The khalifa. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Human beings been put in this life to be khalifa. Now, we'll give you some understanding of the word khalifa, and maybe some people will get angry. And alhamdulillah, this is not the place to show our anger. But as the ulama said, if we differ, we can present our proofs, listen to each other in a nice way, and that's it. Because there is a small, delicate misunderstanding about this word khalifa. And that's because the translation of the word many times has been translated incorrectly. The vicegerent of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does he need a vicegerent? Vicegerent means in ghetto language, a deputy. This full sahib, vicegerent. Yeah. The vicegerent of Allah, the deputy of Allah. What's the job of the deputy? The deputy works when who's gone, who's out of office? The sheriff. Is it possible we can say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is out of office? A'udhu billah. And the reason that we don't say Khalifatullah, although many people said this, is because of the nature of the verse in the Quran itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifati. I'm putting in the world my khalifa. He didn't say that. He used maf'ulun bihi. إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة تن. I'm placing in the world a خليفة. The ulama said خليفة has a few meanings. فخلف من بعدهم خلف أضاعوا الصلوات واتبعوا الشهوات. To succeed each other. That's why Abu Bakr is called what? خليفة رسول الله. عمر خليفة أبي بكر ورسول الله. عثمان بن عفان. And so on and so forth and so forth. To succeed each other, to have offspring. The other meaning of Khalifa, they said, is to administer the world, to take care of business. Why? Not because we're doing so on behalf of Allah. Because if we say this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not taking care of things. A'udhu billah, huwa al-samad, wa huwa al-ghani. He doesn't need anything from anyone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you look carefully at the second meaning, you can see really there's no contradiction between perhaps those people that hold the other meaning. That our job is here to administer this life, this world. And Sheikh Qaradawi gave a nice example. He said, did you ever see a donkey riding a man? Did you ever see the car driving the man? Did you ever see the elephant ride the man? Never. The man rides everything. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا أيوة. We could not have ridden this thing without whose power? With the power of Allah. And that's why the Prophet said, the most beloved words to me are what? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. So we administer this world as the Khalifa, as a mas'uliyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we shouldn't say, and this is what some ulama said, you have to be careful even in the aqa'id, to say I'm the Khalifa of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't need anyone to represent him or to work for him. But he sent here us here with this amanah. إِنَّا أَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And our job is to live in this life and administer this life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a delicate point, and there are some differences on it. I'm not telling you what I'm saying. You have to write it in gold and say, حَدَّثَنِي صُحَيْبِي. But I'm giving you an alternative interpretation. Alhamdulillah. It's not an issue that's to split us or cause our hearts to split. We might differ. Alhamdulillah, akhi. If everybody agreed on everything, as Umar bin Abdulaziz said, then he would be scared. There should be some differences and sometimes some critical analysis. We lack that in the Ummah now. And we lack also the ability to accept different ideas and opinions. And because of that, we can't even live with others. How can we live with others if we can't live with ourselves? So the first role, to be the Khalifa. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً لَمْ يَقُلْ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خليفتي خليفة مفعول به. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a khalifa in this life. And what's his job? لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made our role clear in this verse in Surah Al-Hadid that Allah said we sent the prophets with books and mizan. Most of the ulama said mizan is qiyas. Why? So that people can be judged and live in this life with qist, with justice. To administer the affairs in a just way. So if I notice that my job is to live in this life as a mu'min, billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will keep me focused. Because I know that if I've been sent with a job, one day I'm going to be called back. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورِ. And Allah يحاسبني, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask me about my job. وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So we use this life, as we mentioned before, to fulfill this responsibility as human beings. And that's why Allah said, يَا دَاوُدَ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ. After all those verses yesterday that we mentioned about Dawood, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving him a strong kingdom, وَفَصَّ الْخِطَابِ, and the ability to speak well. And he gave him the birds and the mountains. Why? To praise Allah. What's the last thing Allah said? We made you Khalifa. To what? Use these things to serve subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we'll move inshallah to the second obstacle. The ulama referred to this obstacle as a prison. The second obstacle that we find in front of the nafs, the obstacle from getting close to Allah, for purifying ourselves, from being the type of servant that he wants. And the ulama, they called it sijin, a prison. The interesting thing about this prison is that the prisoner, the guard, and the warden are all one person. Therefore, the prisoner, his warden is himself. His guard is himself. And this obstacle, it can bring people from the role of Khalifa, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muslim, Sadiqan Billah, to what? To lower than cows. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ. And this is the prison of Al-Ghafla, negligence. To be negligent. Negligence. And we'll talk, inshaAllah ta'ala, about the scope of negligence and ways which we can rid ourselves of negligence and some signs of this negligence. Because we said the arkan of Mujahida, the four pillars which Ibn Qayyim he mentioned to work on the soul are first knowledge, number two action, number three a da'wah, and number four patience. Found in Surah Al-Asr. Also this advice is found in Surah Al-Luqman. Ya Bunayya, La tushrik billah. This iman and knowledge. Ya bunayya, aqim as-salah. This is action. Ya bunayya, wa'mur bil ma'ruf wanha 'anil munkar. This is da'wah. Wasbir 'ala ma asabak inna dhalika min 'azmi al-umur. This is patience. The same four pieces of advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son are the same four pillars found in Surah Asr, are the same four pillars that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said are required to work on yourself. Allahu Akbar. So, negligence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th chapter of the Qur'an, the 179th verse, he said, وَلَقَدْ ذَرْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ. And وَلَقَدْ in Arabic, if I use وَلَقَدْ in English, it's as if I said this. Today I went to the market. If I say وَلَقَدْ, I went to the market, it means, وَاللَّهِ I went to the market. Actually, it means more than that. وَاللَّهِ surely I went to the market. So here Allah said, وَلَقَدْ وَاللَّهِ indeed we're going to fill the hellfire with an abundance of men and jinn. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts which don't understand. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِيرُونَ بِهَا. And they have eyes with which they don't see. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. And they have ears with which they don't hear. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. Allah said, indeed, they are like cows, nay, even further astray. And then Allah said, who are these people? أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. They are the negligent. Negligent from who? From Allah. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Don't be like the people who forgot Allah and forgot themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he mentioned many places. The cause of this negligence is what? And now inshallah we can take a practical understanding. The cause of this negligence is to forget the understanding and role that we have in a dunya. This is negligence. To forget that this dunya is to be used to worship Allah. That this dunya is not owning me, but I own it. To forget that important balanced role. That yes, I'm involved in this life. I partake of this life. Why? To serve Allah, to worship Allah. Sheikh Muhammad Hassan al-Shinqiti, he told us that every da'iyah, everyone who calls to Allah should have some money to buy nice clothes. Why? Because he's a da'iyah. He calls people to Allah. So he should look nice. Doesn't mean he has to be, you know, Donald Trump or something. But he should look nice because he's a deliverer of the message of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as related by Imam Abu Dawud, he sent his companions out and he told them what? Straighten your saddle and get your clothes together. Why? Because you're going to meet your brothers. Nowadays the Muslim thinks, okay, I'm going to call it to Allah, let me wear the worst clothes. Allahu Akbar, look how shaitan bedazzled the understanding of the Muslims. Oh, let me leave this alone. Why? I don't know, this dunya. Maybe you have to use it, akhi, to spread the message, akhi. To give a good image of Islam. To deliver the message of Allah. In this city one day I was in a convention and a brother came to me and he said, I don't like how people eat here. I said, why? He said, they're not eating according to the sunnah. I said, no, the sisters is over there. The brothers is over there. The families is in the middle. There's no babi-babi going on. There's no mixing going on. He told me, no, akhi, why are they using cups and spoons and forks, akhi? Ayn al-akhl? Where's the mind of this thinking? Where this coming from? Why, akhi, it's not from sunnah. It is. How come it's from the sunnah? Because it's mubah. It's permissible to use forks and spoons and knives and so on and so forth, akhi. No, akhi, if the non-Muslims came in, they wouldn't even be able to differentiate between us. That's good. Let them see the pluralism that exists in our religion. Then I asked the brother, how did Abu Jahl used to eat? Akhi used to sit on the floor, akhi. Did he used to eat with his hand? Yeah, he used to eat with his hand. How did Rasulullah used to eat, akhi? He used to sit on the floor and eat with his hand. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, ya shaykh. Of course, some aspects of eating with the right hand to say Bismillah, to eat what's in front of us, this is from the Shara. But to think about this thing shows a misunderstanding of dunya. Then I wanted to ask the brother, can I ask you a question? How did you get to this convention? I got my new Lexus SUV outside, man. I got an idea, akhi. Put that on eBay and don't sell it. Exchange it for a camel. And name the camel Qaswa. And every day you leave your house at 3 o'clock in the morning because it's going to take you about 7 hours to get 3 or 4 blocks. And now you on the sunnah. We're not making fun of the sunnah here. And we should never take it that way. وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. But we're talking about the understanding of the sunnah. How the understanding of these individuals who have this understanding leads to corruption. I know one time a sheikh, subhanAllah, he said he invited some shabab to his house for dinner. And his wife, mashallah, she put everything on the table. The sheikh, he went to the back of the room, he heard, boom! He ran out, he said, what happened? He saw the table was broken. He said, what happened? He said, akhi, this is not according to the sunnah of Rasulullah to eat on a table, man. The sheikh, he said, okay, lahza daqiqa. Just wait 1 minute. He went outside, and they heard, dush, 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 dush. They ran out, he broke all their bicycles. How come, ya sheikh? Is it the sunnah to ride a bicycle, ya habibi? So the understanding is the problem that causes us to be negligent of one of two issues. Negligence can lead to two extremes. The extreme of being in the dunya and letting everything control us, or the other extreme, making haram what Allah made halal. لا تحرموا طيبات ما أحل الله لكم. Don't make haram what Allah made halal on you. And making haram what Allah made halal is shirk. It's not something simple. Read the end of Surah An'am about those people of Mecca who said, this is haram except for our wives, the maitata, this. And Allah said, what? They're mushrikun. Because you made haram what Allah made halal. And it's a very dangerous situation. That's why in the Quran, usually, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ. Only Allah has made haram. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ لِمَا تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ. O Nabi, O Messenger of Allah, why you make haram what Allah made halal? So if we fall into one of two misunderstandings about dunya, it leads to an extreme mindset. And it weakens our ability to present Islam in the correct way, in the way that it should be presented. So the negligence, to be negligent of Allah and negligent of understanding His deen. Not that I know the religion, but I understand the religion. And how am I going to understand the religion? Number one, it takes time. And I should read books and study with scholars and listen to tapes or whatever, which focus on the foundations of understanding this deen. And one of the best places to go is to the seerah, the life of the Prophet ﷺ. كان خلق النبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم القرآن. He was a walking Quran. Nowadays, if a youth came to the masjid and said, yo, Sheikh, you know, Sheikh Fulan, not Sheikh Muhammad, not Sheikh Ibrahim, another Sheikh. And he said to him, yo, Sheikh, I accidentally kissed a girl today at school, man. What would happen to him, akhi? It would be like a steel cage match. A man, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, I kissed a woman. The Prophet said what? Pray. After the salah, what did the Prophet tell him? Did you pray? Okay, khalas, yani. Rasulullah has rahmah with the sinners. But nowadays, because we don't understand Islam, a sinner can come to the masjid, a sister can come without hijab, and bam, we beat them down. The Prophet had understanding of this deen. So he called people according to an understanding which enabled a mass amount of people to accept Islam, which enabled the Arabs of that time, the most racist people in the world, to spread their message to the entire world because of their understanding. Some of the Sahaba's greatest found in China, in Malaysia. They didn't speak China and Malay. How did they have this pluralistic outlook? Because they understood the deen and the purpose of this dunya. And it kept them from two extremes. And that's what the Prophet said, and I mentioned again, هَلَكَ الْمُطَنَاتِعُنْ قَالَهَا ثَلَاثَ. The extremist is destroyed, both extremes. Because now we see people running around saying, I don't pray five times a day, I pray whenever I want. This is also an extreme. But the balance is where I obey Allah كَمَا أَمَرَنِي اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. I obey Allah as He ordered me the best I can. So to be negligent of understanding this religion is a disaster. And nowadays, we focus a lot on the surface level of issues, but we don't understand. And another thing you can do is, I know that the university here, they offer a class on usul al-fiqh. If you want to understand the deen more, study usul al-fiqh. My teacher told me, nobody can speak one word about Islam until he studied usul al-fiqh. Because he said he doesn't understand anything about this religion and the scope of this religion because it's found in the usul al-fiqh. So negligence of Allah. Negligence of the remembrance of Allah. And what's the result of negligence of the remembrance of Allah? The hard heart. And as they say, the farthest heart from Allah is the hard heart. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ وَشَدُّ قَسْوَ. Allahu Akbar. Allah said that their hearts became hard and even harder than rocks. The heart is harder than a rock. The other thing is to be negligent of the da'wah. You know, subhanAllah, you go sometime to stores, you meet brothers, and they say, Akhi, why are you giving da'wah, Akhi? I had a brother ask me this one time, why people involved in da'wah? He said, no, Islam is on TV. Yeah, Islam is on TV, Akhi. What a wonderful image is on TV. Exactly, every night, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock news, Islam is on TV. Don't you feel any responsibility to counteract the negative image? Like now, this situation in Russia, as Muslims, we denounce this. Taking a school hostage, if this is Muslims, and we ask Allah to not make it Muslims. If it's Muslims and they say they're doing this in the name of Islam, we need to counteract this. كَمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. If one person killed for no reason, it's like they killed the whole world, especially children. But we're quiet, we're nervous. Stand up. كُنُوا قَوَّمِينَ بِالْقِسْتِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ. Stand up and make da'wah, because you know what? The amount of work we put in da'wah in any situation always resulted in our salvation. وَكَذَٰرِكَ النَّجِزِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned many places that we save to the people who do good. The people make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahsan, make ahsan kama ahsan Allahu lak. As Allah did good to you, do back. Those of us who became Muslim. Oh man, I meet some brothers sometime and they told me, man, everyone in America is lost. Akhi, where are you from, America? What are you talking about? No need to make da'wah to these people. Why not? Man, you know these people are lost. You were lost? كَذَٰرِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْرُ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَبَيِّنُوا. Used to be like them. How come you forgot where you used to be? You forgot your condition? How you were before? And now you're judging these people? Nah, akhi, get busy. Make da'wah to them. Set a good example to them about Islam. So our misunderstanding and our negligence of our roles leads to disaster. Leads to disaster. And this life and the next. And the most dangerous form of negligence is the negligence of the heart. The heart forgets Allah. The heart is away from Allah. The heart doesn't think about Allah. The heart doesn't make its niyyah for Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the munafiq in the time of Medina. He said that when إِذَا قَامَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَارَ يُرَاؤُنَ النَّاسِ. They used to stand and pray with negligence and laziness. Nowadays, we don't even stand and pray. Allah didn't mention this one in the Quran, except in one place. مَا سَرَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِينَ. Except for the people in hell. That's the only time Allah mentioned those people who didn't pray are the ones going to be in hell. And the angels going to see them and say, you're from the nation of Muhammad? Yeah. How did you get to hellfire? Allahu Akbar, the malaika is going to say, how come one of the ummati of Rasulullah ﷺ is in the hellfire? What's your reason? I didn't pray. I was busy watching Turbo G and Mixmaster 4010 or something. Could have missed my Dr. Phil. Could have missed the Temptation show in Oakland this weekend with Shah Rukh Khan. I should go visit him and tell him I talk about you every time I speak. I know a Muslim youth in this city right now saving $500 to get a front row seat. This is ghafla. This is negligence. Away from Allah. So how can we know if we have this negligence? Number one, what's my familiarity with the Akhirah? How much do I know
about what's going to happen in the hereafter. If I know a lot, and if I know it in details, and I believe in it, and I act according to it, inshallah, I'm not from the ghafileen. But if I don't know about the hereafter, I know, for example, more about the new Apple computer that's coming out this week, or about that temptation, or about the new car, or about the new watch, or the new cell phone. You see sometimes brothers with the best cell phone in the world, wallahi al-azim, maybe the brother can call Pluto with his cell phone. And still the brother's talking about, man, I need to get a new cell phone, man. There's a new one out. It's got a keyboard. You can download songs. Akhi, what you listen to songs for? Oh, sorry. You know, you can download movies, man. You can do everything with a phone. Akhi, you just bought a phone. Oh, man, I got to get that phone. Ta'isa abdu dunya. Ta'isa abdu dinar wa dirham. Cursed and lost is the one who's a slave of the dinar and the dirham. So how much do I know about the hereafter? How many sahabi can I name? How many of the sahabi can I tell their names, what their life was like, how they used to live, their wife, their kids? But at the same time, I can tell you, you know, Kobe today, he got off. Allahu Akbar, man. Next year, inshallah, we have another chance. A'udhu billahi. We know more about ad-dunya than al-akhirah. It doesn't mean that we neglect the affairs of dunya again, but we use them. We're not used by them. How many surah of Quran did I memorize? Well, again, how many codes of Game Boy or Xbox or PlayStation or stock markets did I memorize? And Allah described this personality in the Quran, in Surah Ar-Rum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said about these people that they know. Allah said in the 7th verse or 6th verse of Surah Ar-Rum, the 30th chapter of the Quran, when He described this personality, He said, they know everything about the dunya. I'm cool, man. I got the latest fashions, the latest CDs, the latest DVDs. I'm on it. But about the hereafter, Allah said, what? Negligent. They don't know. So here's the first litmus test that we'll take a ride for a minute through Al-Akhirah. What did the Prophet ﷺ say about Al-Maut? First of all, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe death in the Quran? He described it as musibah, a trial, a test, a calamity. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say about the death? Ala inna lil maut sakarat. That deed in death, there is pains. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describe the death of a believer? How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describe the death of one who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said, inna alladhina qalu rabbuna Allah. How many of us in this room, we say our Lord is Allah? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conditioned it with another condition. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those people who say that Allah is my Lord, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And after that, they stay on it. I don't get involved in the masjid for a few years and then, you know, I don't want to be involved anymore. Then people don't like me. I don't know, I'll be involved in this community for maybe a few days. You know, then someone gives a different opinion than mine. I don't want to go. I go to the dars, man, maybe like once, you know. I start to memorize Quran, I quit. I start to memorize some hadith, I quit. I start to spend some time with my wife and my husband, I quit. Spend some time with my kids, read some books to them, I quit. No istiqama. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزُّلَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْسَنُوا وَأَبِشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. In Surah Al-Fusilat, also in Surah Al-Aqaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those people who said that our Lord is Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. At the time of death, what's going to happen? The angel's going to come to them and say what? لا تخافوا ولا تحسنوا. Don't be scared. Don't worry. And then they will give them what? The good news of Al-Jannah, which they were promised. نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. And the malaika will say to them, we are your supporters and friends in the life of this world and the hereafter. What about the non-Muslim? Or the one who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and died as a non-Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He mentions their condition. وَلَوْ تُرَىٰ إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةِ يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ وَذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ. That if you see, O Muhammad and O people, the time when the angel of death takes the soul of the one who rejected Allah, what's going to happen? They're going to be beat in their face and beaten on their backs. And the other ulama said, as Imam Qurtubi mentioned, that the time the believer's soul comes out of the body, he's going to be scared. She's going to be scared.
What is going to hear? Ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'innah irji'i ila rabbik. Oh, satisfied soul, go back to Allah. Welcome back to Allah. Return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens after that? What happens when the soul is taken out of the body? Do we know what happens? Are we aware of what happens? Do we know the details? If not, we need to check ourselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he described how the believer will be taken out of the body, and then he said at that moment, the malaika will take him to the heavens. And he said, every time this soul of this person passes a gathering of the malaika, they will say, "Ooh, who is this good soul?" And he said, it will be mentioned to them, this is fulan, fulan. And he will be mentioned, she will be mentioned with the best names. And they will say, marhaban, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome. Until he reached the soul, the seventh heaven. And then there'll be a door, the door will be knocked and the door will open. And he will go, excuse me, till he reached the seventh heaven. And there, subhanAllah, there will be a voice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bear witness to the belief of this soul, the goodness of this soul. And he will order this soul to what? To be placed back into his body or her body with ease. And at that moment that the soul is put back in the body, they will see everything. They can't talk, they can't communicate, but they will see. Even the people around them, they see them wrapping them and washing them. Then he will be taken or she'll be taken to the grave, the first place of hisab. And what's going to happen on the way? If he was a good person, he's going to say, hurry up, hurry up. Get me to the grave. Man ahibbu liqa' Allah, whoever loves the meaning of Allah, Allah loves the meaning of them. Then he'll be put in the grave and we'll stop there. What about the opposite? The one who rejected Allah, who is away from Allah. And this can include Muslims. The soul will be taken and every time it passes, a group of angels be said what? Who is this khabith? Who is this filthy soul? It's such and such. And they'll be mentioned by the worst names. Imagine when you're in school, if someone called you by a name you hated, they're going to be mentioned that name there. And then what will happen? They will be knocked on the door. And the door, it will not open. It will not open. Then it will be announced from a voice that this soul was an evil person, a wicked person. And then the soul will be thrown from the heavens back into his body. And that's why we can understand the verse that we mentioned a few nights ago. وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ Whoever associated partners with Allah is like someone falling from the heavens with no power. The bird's going to be eaten from them. He's talking about this person. Then the body will fall, the spirit of the person will fall back into the soul. They will see everything. Then they'll be taken to the grave. And what are they going to say? The Prophet said they're going to be cursing the people carrying them. Where are you taking me? Don't take me there. I don't want to go there. Because they know what's coming. Now we go back to the mu'min. What's the first thing going to be asked in the grave? Is what question? Man Rabbuk. Who is your Lord? Is the first question going to be, yo, what type of limo did you used to drive? What kind of nice clothes you used to wear? What kind of Avon you used to put on your face, sister? That's not the first question. The first question is what? Who's your Lord? Rabbi Allah. My Lord is Allah. The next question, what is it? Are we ghafil? We don't know? What's the next question? It's an exam. We should prepare for the exam. It's what? Ma dinuk. What's your deen? Deen Islam. My deen is Islam. The third question, a very important question. Who is the one allamaka hadha deen? Who is the one who taught you this deen? Some people, who knows what the answer might be? Aga Khan. Elijah Muhammad, Karl Marx, who knows? But the believer, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the Prophet. The next question, actually there's another question. How you know about this man? How did you know he's Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But for the other one, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that at that moment, that person will see his place in Jannah. And the breeze of Jannah will blow into the grave. And who yatanafas? He will smell it. And he will enjoy it. And then there will be a voice from the heavens that will say, this servant, sadaqa, is truthful. And this grave will be wide. And we know after that comes the barzakh and so on and so forth. But for the one who rejected Allah, Who is your Lord? لا أدري. وقالوا لو كنا نسمع نعقل ما كنا فيه أصحاب السعير. When it's asked, who is your Lord? He will say, I don't know. What's your deen? I don't know. Maybe they will say, my deen is what? Shop on eBay. My deen is spending. My deen is making tawaf in the mall. My deen is this. My deen is materialism. My deen is this. My deen is that. Who's the one who taught you this? I don't know. I heard people talking about some guy, but I don't know. Rasulullah said that this person will be shown his place in the hellfire. Another narration said he will be hit on the head with a hammer. Because those two angels, they will punish him. And he will see his place in the hellfire. And the breeze will come from the hellfire. And he will breathe the breeze from hellfire. And it will be said about this guy, he is a liar. My sheikh, he said something interesting. He said, these two people, the one who's in Jannah, or the one who sees his place in Jannah, when he enters into Jannah, he will think that was Nar. And the one who sees his place in hellfire, when he enters into the hellfire, he will think it was Jannah. He will think the azab of the qabr was Jannah. The other one will think, this is nothing compared to Jannah. Jannah is bigger than this. And one story that my teacher told me directly from his father, for those people who doubt the punishment of the grave, because they say, all the ahadith are ahad or something like this. Tayyib, we'll give you a realistic, real story. My teacher, his father, was over 96 years old. And subhanAllah, one time some people asked him, go, lady died, can you just go and pray for her? Not pray to her, pray for her. It's a distinction. So he said, subhanAllah, I went and I prayed for that lady. Oh Allah, forgive her. Oh Allah, have mercy upon her. And he said, wallahi al-azim, at the time I start praying for her, I felt the ground start shaking. And he said, wallahi, I heard sa'iq. I heard a voice and the loudness of this voice and the terror of this voice. He said, wallahi al-azim, I never heard in my life on the world. He said, then I stopped making dua and the ground settled. And the voice stopped. He said, then I start making dua again. Again, the same thing. The ground starts shaking and the voice comes. Then I put my hands down. Again, I start making dua. Again, the ground starts shaking and the voice comes. Then he said, I realized at that time that this person is getting azab al-qabr. And our sheikh, whenever he related this hadith, he started to cry. This narration started to cry. And his father started to cry. Because this is the truth. So the first sign of my being from the people of negligence is my negligence of the akhirah. And how can I rid myself of this negligence? Number one is to be close to the Quran. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, you'll be hard-pressed to find one page in the Quran where the hereafter is not mentioned. One page. The Quran is talking about the hereafter. Surah al-Fatiha. A verse in Surah al-Fatiha, Malik yawm al-Din, al-Akhirah. You turn the page. Alif lam mim. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. The next page. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on every page of the Quran almost is mentioning al-Akhirah to remind us so to be with the Quran. Number two is to read books like Riyadh al-Salihin or the book of Abu Dawud where there are details of al-Akhirah. The next sign of negligence, or that my heart is negligent, is mentioned in the Hakam of Ibn Ata Allah, Iskandari, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he mentioned, in one of his important lines of hikmah, he said, مِنْ عَلَمَاتِ الْمَوْتِ الْقَلْبِ. From the sign that somebody's heart is dead, is the lack of feeling sad when you missed obeying Allah. When somebody feels, subhanAllah, that they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they didn't even feel it, like they did anything wrong. Miss salah, no problem. Miss my zikr, no problem. Ibn Qayyim said about the salihin, he said, I used to know people who were more diligent about their time than the banker is with his money. So the person misses Fajr year in, year out, treats his wife without justice, year in, year out, her husband without justice, their kids, and they don't feel anything. لا يشعرون. They don't feel the negligence. He said, this is a sign of the dead heart. They don't feel sad when they disobey Allah. And he said, and they leave feeling guilt. They don't feel guilty. They don't feel guilty when they do sins. So two signs. I miss obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I don't feel anything about it. Number two, I commit sins and I don't feel any regret about it. There's a story of one Salih in Iraq, who, subhanAllah, that Shaykh, he said in his biography, he said, one night I missed Salatu Isha in Jama'ah. And this is in the book Al-Kaba'ir of Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, so I ran all over the city of Baghdad. Why? To find Jama'ah. SubhanAllah, if we just missed Isha, we don't feel that we missed Isha. He said, I missed Jama'ah, so I ran all over the city looking to find Jama'ah. And I couldn't find it. So he went home, he said, I prayed Isha 27 times. Because of the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ said that salah in Jama'ah is 27 times. Allahu Akbar. Guilt on missing his chance to, or his sadness on missing his chance to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, or number three, is to be pleased with your soul. Whatever your soul tells you, alhamdulillah, I take my soul as my imam. And that's why again in the hikam he said something very beautiful. He said that the usul of every type of ma'asiyah wa ghaflatin and every type of negligence is what? Al-rida anin nafs. To be happy with your soul. Whatever your soul tell you, happy with it. No problem. And he said the opposite of this, the foundation of obeying Allah and being awake and alert is to oppose it. And that's why he said in another interesting line that when you're presented with two things, sometimes take the hard way. Why? To discipline your soul. To keep it straight. Another way that we can protect ourselves from negligence is to know the value of this dunya. Imagine, subhanAllah, you're in a desert. And imagine that you're rich. Imagine that you're loaded. You have everything. And suddenly you get lost in the desert. And the sun comes above your head. And you start to feel the thirst in your throat. And you can feel, subhanAllah, it's eating at you, this thirst. And 6 hours later, you're still thirsty. You're about to die, you can't walk. You're sweating, you taste the salt in your mouth. Still thirsty, still thirsty. And you have nice cars, nice house, big swimming pool, everything. And suddenly someone comes to you with a glass of water like this. And he says, would you like this glass of water? You say, yeah, I have to have it. He said, type, give me everything you have. Would you do it? We'll give it. We'll give everything. And imagine if you were starving and you're so hungry. After 3 or 4 days, still no food. 5 or 6 days, still no food. You're about to die after 4 days or 5 days, and somebody comes to you with what? One little samosa. And he says to you, give me everything you have and I'll give you this samosa. Would you do it? You'll do it. But this is dunya. Dunya can't go away. Like that, the value of this life. The third one, Sheikh Qaradawi mentioned something interesting, is to know your own value. Appraise yourself. Okay, is my value because I'm going to last a long time? When you go and buy something, what's the question you ask? How long will it last? So what about the human being? How long I'm going to last? Maybe 60 years, maybe 70 years. In some countries, the life expectancy is 46 years. The age of 20, you reached half your life. Is my value because I'm strong? SubhanAllah, akhi, the himar is stronger than you, ya Shaykh. The donkey is stronger than you. So it's not because of your strength. Is my value because I have a lot of things? Millions of kings died and passed and they had more than you ever had. So what's the qima of the person is what? His obedience to Allah. What demarcates the person in this life is his servitude to Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll finish now with two important points. How to be safe from this negligent through this deep ocean of dunya. As Luqmani said to his son, Inna dunya bahrun amiq. That this dunya, this life is a deep, deep, deep sea. وَقَدْ غَرَقَ فِيهَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. And he said to him, many people, they drowned in it. So he said, فَجْعَلْ. So make your safina fiha taqwallah. Then make your boat over this deep ocean what? Piety to Allah. And the next one is good deeds. Be busy with your heart. That is for Allah. Inna Allah la yanduru ila ajsamikum wa la aswarikum, walakin yanduru ila qulubikum a'malikum. As the Prophet said, that Allah doesn't look at your clothes and your appearances, but He looks at your hearts and your actions. Make sure your heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your actions are with Allah. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Be busy in this life doing the good so that you'll be away from negligence. That's why Aisha radiallahu anha said that in the time of tahajjud, the Prophet used to jump from the bed. Nowadays, we get up for Fajr, we look like we've been in a 10-round fight with Lennox Lewis. Where's the restroom? Boom! What's wrong, Habibi? Wallahi, ana ta'aban jiddin. لماذا أنا أكلت كثيرا بالليل? Because I ate a lot last night. Boom! Like you just got hit with an uppercut to the jaw. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the tahajjud, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَىٰ قَلِيلًا يَا أَيُّ الْمُدَثِّرِ قُمْ يَا أَيُّ الْمُزَمِّرِ قُمْ. You get up. So get up for khayrat, for the good things. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Race and doing good. وَسَابِقُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Race for the forgiveness of Allah. بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ. The Prophet said, compete and race to do good. And nowadays, sometimes I see a mistake in the masjid. Except from a few brothers here, that what happened in the time of adhan? Oh, you make adhan. No, you make adhan. Akhi, wallahi al-azim, if you give me the adhan, I'm going to push you out of the way. I'm going to make adhan. Why? Because the Prophet said, if you know the edge of the adhan in the first row, you'll fight for it. Because why? وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Compete for what? For Jannah. Race for it. And the last thing, to help us put maybe things in more perspective, we take the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas. The Rabbani of hadhihi ummah. The Rabbani of this ummah, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said on the Day of Judgment, an old woman will be brought, an old hag. He said she will be extremely ugly and nasty and stinky and dirty. And she will be brought in front of all of the people. And her smell will be repugnant. And the people will say, what is this? Then it will be said to them, أَتَعْرِفُونَ مَنْ هَذِهِ? Do you know who this is? And they will say, no. And it will be said, هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا. This is the dunya that you used to fight over, that you used to kill over, that you used to, you know, try to take from each other and compete in. So today we talked about the purification of the soul, islah al-nufus, two obstacles. And we started yesterday about hubb al-dunya. And we finish now with al-ghafla. As the ulama said, the ghafla is the sijin of the believer. It's the imprison of the mu'min. It can take him or her away from being free to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuthabbit qulubuna ila ta'atihi wa ala sunnati rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya muqalib al-qulub, thabbit qulubuna ala deenik. أقول قولي هذا استغفركم فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.